Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10,000, chapter 11, text numbers 34 to 41. So we have 34 in the board, so we chant that one. Madhinga Madhata Janna
Madhinga Madhata Janna
Darshana Sparshana Chanam
Darshana Sparshana Chanam
Parichaya Suti Brahma
Parichaya Suti Brahma
Gunnatma Mandu Kiritanam
Gunnatma Mandu Kiritanam.
Madhita Sarvesha Madhanu Yana Bhutava Sarva Logo Paharanam Tasina Adhidam Vajchanna Karma Katanam Mama Paramanu Moham Gita Tandava Vatitra Gosti Bhira Bhihutsava Yatra Kali Vidinam Cha Sarva Varshika Parvasu Vaita Tatsuki Diksa Maria Vrata Dharam Amarcha Sapanesha Dha Sataha Samhacha Chojamaha Ujjana Kavarna Pidha Pura Mandira Kamani Samar Jano Vale Pavyam Sikamanda Varatanai Griha Sushasnam Mayam Dasat Vag Yad Amyaya Amalitam Adambitam Hidasya Parikirtanam Api Dipa Avalokam Me Loka Yunyam Vedetam Yajat Hishtat Mam Loke Yajtati Priyam Atmana Tattan Vediyam Mayam Tad Anachaya Kalpate. There's a little bit of Sanskrit there that comes up in the Bhagavad Gita. Amalitam Adambitam. Is that from? 13 chapter, the text numbers through 8 to 12. Yeah. Which, Krishna describes qualities such as humility and tolerance. So, here again. I won't do all the word for words. Translation. My dear Uddhava, one can give up false pride and prestige by engaging in the following devotional activities. One may purify oneself by seeing, touching, worshipping, serving, and offering prayers of glorification and obeisances to my form as the deity and to my pure devotees. One should also glorify my transcendental qualities and activities. Here, with love and faith, the narrations of my glories, and constantly meditate upon me. One should offer to me whatever one acquires, and accepting oneself as my eternal servant, should give oneself completely to me. One should always discuss my birth and activities and enjoy life by participating in festivals such as Janmashtami. No, let me just take it off gently.
He wants to be flattered, isn't he?
Doesn't matter. Now, Kirtan's finished. Kirtan's finished now. One should always discuss my birth and activities and enjoy life by participating in festivals such as Janmashtami, which glorify my pastimes. In my temple, one should also participate in festivals and ceremonies by singing, dancing, playing musical instruments, and discussing me with other Vaishnavas. One should observe all the regularly celebrated annual festivals by attending ceremonies, pilgrimages, and making offerings. One should also observe religious vows, such as akhodasi, and take initiation by the procedures mentioned in the Vedas, Pancharatra, and other similar literatures. One should faithfully and lovingly support the installation of my deity, and individually or in cooperation with others, one should work for the construction of Krishna conscious temples and cities, as well as flower gardens, fruit gardens, and special areas to celebrate my pastimes. One should consider oneself to be my humble servant without duplicity, and thus should help to clean the temple, which is my home. First, one should sweep and dust thoroughly, and then one should further cleanse with water and cow dung. Having dried the temple, one should sprinkle scented water and decorate the temple with mandalas. One should thus act just like my servant. A devotee should never advertise his devotional activities. Therefore, his service will not be the cause of false pride. One should never use lamps that are offered to me for other purposes, simply because there is need of illumination, and simply one should never offer to me anything that has been offered to or used by others. Whatever is most desired by one within this material world, and whatever is most dear to oneself, one should offer that very thing to me, such as such an offering qualifies one for eternal life. Purport. In these 8 verses, Lord Krishna ends his discussion of saintly qualities in general and describes the specific characteristics of the devotees of the Lord. Lord Krishna has clearly described both here and in the Bhagavad Gita that the ultimate goal of life is to surrender fully to him and become his pure devotee. Herein, the Lord elaborately describes the process of devotional service. One should offer everything that one acquires to the Lord, thinking, Lord Krishna has sent these things so that I may serve him nicely. One ultimately should understand that the minute spirit soul is part and parcel of Lord Krishna, and thus one should surrender surrender one's very self to the Lord. Just as an ordinary servant is meek and submissive to his master, similarly a devotee should always be submissive to his spiritual master, who is a representative of Lord Krishna. He should realize how his body and mind are purified simply by his seeing the spiritual master, or by accepting on his head the water offered to the spiritual master. It is emphasized in these verses that one should attend Vaishnava festivals. As far as possible, large festivals should be held all over the world so that people can gradually learn how to perfect human life. The words mamachas, dapanes, and ha are significant. Here Lord Krishna states that one should have faith in his deity worship, since the Lord is personally present as the deity. The words Vajanava Kavanat Krita Pura Mandira Karmani indicate that there should be a serious endeavour to construct beautiful temples and Vaishnava cities and with ample parks, orchards and flower gardens. An outstanding of such endeavours can be presently seen in India at the Mayapur Chandrakaya Mandir. Words Dipa Vilokam Me Nupayunjam Vedatam indicate that one may never use the deities paraphernalia for sense gratification. occupation. If there is a shortage of electricity or lights, one may not use the deity's lamps, nor should one ever offer to Lord Krishna paraphernalia previously offered to or used by others. In these verses, the importance of deity worship and Vaishnava festivals is emphasized in many ways. Lord Krishna promises that whoever sincerely performs these activities will certainly go back home, back to Godhead. Tad Ananchaya Kalapati. One should offer his most dear possessions to Lord Krishna, not that which is superfluous or unwanted. If one is most attached to his family, one should see that his family is engaged in Lord Krishna's service. If one is most attached to money, that should be given for propagating Krishna consciousness. And if one considers one's intelligence to be most valuable, he should preach Krishna consciousness with great logic and reason. If we offer our most valuable possession to Lord Krishna, we will automatically become dear to the Lord and go back to Godhead. Especially deity worship, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the 7th canto and just many times in conversations that it is particularly important for grihastha. Because of their the brahmacharis and sannyasis, vannaprasthas, their lifestyle is very conducive to preaching, and they should certainly do deity worship, of course, but they have created an opportunity to preach, and they should take advantage of that. You don't realize, of course, until you take up a grihastha ashram, how much time, responsibility, effort goes into maintaining family and raising children. Which, of course, it's very commendable that when you see grihasthas preaching very strongly as well, it's quite an achievement. But it's certainly a lot easier for the brahmacharis and sannyasis, and they should actually, those who don't have a lot of responsibilities in grihastha should take full advantage of that opportunity to preach. And those who are grihasthas, they should also preach. Of course, this is foremost the preaching movement. There are more difficulties there, but if one is if one desires to preach, even as a grihastha, if one has that strong desire, one will find the ways and means to do that anyway. But generally we see that grihasthas should particularly focus on the deity worship aspect. They are earning money, and as a grihastha, there's always more of an inclination to think in terms of, you know, my possessions. These are the fruits of my activities. These are my, I am mine. Can very easily enter into the consciousness of the Grihastha, whereas just like I was listening to a tape the other day, there was a discussion on Prashadam in one temple. Some devotees were not eating temple Prashadam, which is actually an idol of deity worship to honor the Lord's Prashadam. And the temple was actually charging the devotees. It wasn't a lot, but so much for morning prasad and so much for the evening prasad. If you agree, husband, you had to pay. Others didn't. If you agree, husband, you had to pay. So anyway, the agree husband was discussing whether it was actually cheaper to just cook at home than pay the money. So, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was making the point, well, it's actually cheaper if, you cook for everyone, somehow takes advantage of that cooking is done for everyone. That's the cheapest when you cook for a lot of people. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, there's no question of what's cheap and expensive for you, it's only us here. It's all free for you anyway. Where's the question of, that should never even come into your head as far as what's, it doesn't affect you at all what's cheap and expensive in life, because basically whatever's coming is, that's a concept that the Grihastha has, that's expensive, that's cheap. There's a sannyasi, a brahmachari, you're just accepting, whatever arms are coming, and those concepts are there. So, there are things that enter the mind of a Grihastha which don't enter the mind of a brahmachari or a sannyasi. In fact, I was a brahmachari for a couple of years, and I remember a stunning revelation practically the day I got married. It was my first partner that I met a few hours before my wedding. It wasn't like a lot of association. And then there was a whole another side of Islam I never knew existed. There's a lot of things that the women and the married people discuss. Brahmachari sannyasis, don't hear about. And I was, just so surprised. It was just this whole other side of Islam. And I had no idea of that. And just boom, one day you're a brahmachari, next day you're married, next day they're, oh, is that really? Did that happen? He said that? She said this? You kidding. So, therefore, deity worship is very important for the Grihasthas, because it is very powerful in bringing them back to those spiritual thoughts and pushing those material thoughts and concepts of good and bad and so many things that enter their mind, as a Grihastha, it sort of pushes them aside because of deity worship. So, especially for Grihasthas, it's very, very important. It's very important for the Brahmacharis and the Sannyasis as well, of course. They may not have the same influences of material impressions, coming in. So, therefore, in the very beginning, Krishna says, my dear Uddhava, one can give up false pride and prestige by engaging in the following devotional activity. So, false pride and prestige. So, he lists a whole series of activities, specifically centered around deity worship. And here towards the end of these slogans, he says a devotee should never advertise his devotional activities, therefore his service will not be the cause of pride. So by doing these activities, it destroys that pride, that sense of I and mine that can be there, especially within grihasthas. And if they do the deity worship properly, without advertising, then that pride can't slip back in. Krishna is describing this process of deity worship, which is beneficial for all, you know, all class, all levels, all types of devotees, those in the renounced and those in the grihastha ashram, as a way of destroying that material concept of life, which is signified by that pride. Pride is the opposite of being the humble servant. So Krishna is trying to bring us to the point of realizing we're the eternal humble servants of the Supreme Lord, and pride is the opposite, that I'm not the servant, I'm the master, I'm the Acharya, like that. So all these activities destroy that pride and help us to deity worship is very, very powerful in promoting that mood that I am a servant. But if we go to all that endeavour, a lot of endeavour, and then advertise our activities, that's been anti-productive. Then we've actually lost the essential meaning of what we do. We do see that. Conditioned souls. We just have to remember that, of course, you know, we are conditioned souls. Even, you know, of course, speak for myself, but the devotees in general who are engaged in devotional service mindfully are actually liberated. But still they think of themselves as conditioned souls. I was thinking, again, hearing the morning walk with Srila Prabhupada the other day, and a devotee was asking Srila Prabhupada, he's saying that you know, we always, because Srila Prabhupada was discussing how we should fix our mind on Krishna, which here again is what Krishna is bringing us to. Always thinking of Krishna and understanding that we are the eternal servant of Krishna, thinking of Krishna in that mood as his servant. Srila Prabhupada was discussing that, and one devotee was saying that it is very, very difficult. Other things always seem to enter the mind. his day. And Srila Prabhupada said, you know, don't think that to be a devotee is such a cheap thing. Because he was saying, Srila Prabhupada, as devotees, we always, you know, we have that difficulty. Srila Prabhupada, you know, corrected, you know, you're claiming to be a devotee. That's not such a cheap thing. And he was saying, making the point, of course, that if devotees, we may have to suffer for it. What's that? You like to do it? The devotees, it doesn't bother me because I have children. But the other devotees may find it hard to concentrate. I can still think. I can lay on the couch and see the three children jumping on me. But I can see that I can't hear me. So Srila Prabhupada was saying that, you know, people who actually think of sense gratification and at the same time they may be dressed as devotees, wearing tilak, you know, they have the beads, they have the japa beads, they're chanting, they're worshipping the deities, they're engaged in all sorts of activities, and despite that, it's that they're not devotees. If they're, like, you know, goals, sense gratification, they can, he quoted Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura saying that they're actually Kali Chera, agents of Kali. So sometimes you get that. I was there within, if you look, widely back to Lord Chaitanya and you look at all the acharyas, and usually within the group of their followers, even dressed and performing all the same activities, there's some elements who are, they look like everyone else, they appear to be doing the same as everyone else, but they're actually agents of Kali. So, not that we should be, you know, looking at devotees like that, but Srila Prabhupada was making that point that, you know, don't just consider that you're a liberated devotee, or even that you're a devotee. And of course, later in that same morning walk, although Srila Prabhupada made that point, after he made that point, he was then describing how mercifully Krishna is to the devotees who are trying to become Krishna conscious, and you know, but may just have difficulty, you know, rising above that contamination. It's sort of a bad habit. Sometimes contamination comes back. And I've heard him give this example before on a few different occasions, and it's a very striking example. The devotee said, what is an example? And he's, as I've heard him say this a few times, that, you know, there may be a devotee who is accustomed to smoking cigarettes, you know, from their previous life. And then, they're doing devotional service, and then somehow due to bad association, they may, again, smoke a cigarette, and then they may think, oh, what have I done? And they'll stop like that. Which is, you know, quite a radical thing. But, you know, that's the example. And I've heard him give that example on a few occasions. You know, it's quite a big contamination, you know, to, like that. But he was saying how, you know, even though someone may do that, he wasn't considering that they're, you know, Kali Chera agents of Kali. They're just victims of, you know, the really sincerely trying to be devotees, the victims of contamination. Because the material world, especially the Kali Yuga, is so contaminating, so very, very powerful. And Srila Prabhupada understands that. And that's why you can see that sometimes he gives such an example like that, because he understands. And we see also, you know, within the history of Vaishnavism and even, you know, the Gaudiya Math, how Kali enters and contaminates. Srila Prabhupada again was telling a story about one of his Kali brothers, that his wife, you know, the family of devotees under the shoulder of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, but this his Kali brother's wife again was having an affair with different men coming to the house and some affairs, and her son found out about it, and he was asking, who are these men? Come here. And so she had him killed, and it was like this. So yeah, we see in this one sometimes, and you see even in the Gaudiya Math. You know, if you go right back through, even like you see, I think it was Rasikananda, and he had a couple of wives. I think he was helping to maintain, look after the wives of his guru, some story like that, after his guru passed away, his guru had. And there was some difficulty there, and they were living in separate houses, and somehow or another they became too difficult, and he wanted them to live in the one, and they didn't want to do that, some background like that, so they made a plot to kill the Sikhman, and you know, there was some pastime like that. But you know, Kali Yuga is just so powerful. The things that happen, you know, to the devotees. So, Srila Prabhupada understands that devotees have to always be very, very aware, and especially in the Grihastha ashram, any ashram, especially Grihastha ashram, because you tend to be, you know, more dealing with the material world, more front on. You have to be particularly careful. Therefore, deity worship is very, very powerful, very wonderful in, you know, if a devotee takes up that deity worship, they're fully protected. They're fully protected. And if they don't, they're really in a dangerous situation, just because of the very nature of the age of Kali, and because we can be with an experience. Of course, Srila Prabhupada referring to this Kali Chira, you know, agents of Kali, in the sense of people wear their clothes, look like Vaishnavas, and they think, you know, it's I'm a devotee, and they constantly smoke cigarettes. Like sometimes you see that in the, or even here in the West, you know, and they don't actually feel any regret, any remorse. They actually feel that it's, you know, proper, you know, chanting this hand, singing this hand, you know. So that sort of blatant disregard, being completely influenced by Kali Yuga, and taking that as just that's ordinary. I don't have to modify that. I'll do that and worship the deities and, you know, preach Krishna consciousness and cannot do it. So you know, here Srila Prabhupada, Krishna is giving these wonderful recipes to help us to always think of Krishna and to always be in the mood that we are Krishna's eternal servant. I find it very interesting because piece of something to go through the Bhagavad Gita, you know. And you know, the chances of these sort of verses coming up around Janmashtami, you know, Radhashtami, you know, the odds are almost incredible. I think just before Janmashtami I read that verse, which is
considering that this day
is the cause for the greatest celebration this very day. Not in 2 weeks' time, I'm looking forward. Today, tomorrow, every day, when you actually get out of bed, you should think like that. If you're thinking like that, then you're actually in spiritual consciousness. That today is the cause of the greatest salvation. Let there be a huge festival. And there are so many pastimes of Krishna. And the Vaishnavas and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is easy, to have festivals like that. So, but if we do this, constantly, imagine that there's just like this one festival to the next. If you actually read the pastimes of acharyas, especially Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Prabhu, Sikananda, their lives were like that. They actually were the first real preaching party in order to not only distribute the books of the Goswamis, but to give it life, to show how everything can be executed. And constantly, every day, there's some festival, and they were constantly dressed up. They would have sankirtan, huge sankirtan parties. Everyone in the village would come. Everyone would get dressed up. Some would dress up as different characters from past times of Krishna, and big feast. I remember when I was in India, got a taste, just a little taste of that sort of life. I was in Mayapur, and we do a tour. You go to one village, all the devotees would get on the boat. We had Gaur Natai on Palanquin, little Gaur Natai. And I remember my job was to carry, I was one of the Palanquin bearers. There were a few people who wanted to do it, but they couldn't stand up because, as you know, I'm not sure what it's like now, I haven't been for a while. Whenever you get to the river, you've got to walk down these muddy, muddy banks, very steep, and just put your foot in and just. So people falling over just left, right, and centre. So to carry the Lord, you had to stand in that slippery, slippery mud and hold them and did not fall over whatever happened. You've got to remember. I'm carrying God on my shoulders. The last thing I want to do is duck him in the mud. Well, there goes, the Lord, face first in the mud. What happened, gang? So, you just got to kick your toes and grip in, And so anyway, we would go to a village and we would have kirtan, massive kirtan, and the whole village would come out. Then the whole gathering would come out and they would join in. There'd be hundreds and hundreds of people. And then after kirtan, some devotees would speak. And while they were speaking, the devotees would cook. And we'd have a huge pit, like with the wok was the size of this lotus around the room here. The big pit burning. And they'd be, four or five men around the wok stirring up there, and we cook and we feed everyone in the village. And then the villagers, they would make the devotees all sit down, and then they would feed us for sure. And then we'd go back to the temple and have kirtan. And the next day, another village, and that big celebration, festival, kirtan. That's the life of a devotee. It's a hard job, but someone's got to do it. But Krishna is saying that if you follow his instructions, you'll go back to Godhead. You'll always think of Krishna. You'll be immersed in Krishna, and then leave the body, and you just let me continue. We do the same thing, and then you just go back to the spiritual world. So these Sankirtan movement and festivals and worshipping the deities and like this. This is the life of a devotee, very, very enjoyable. Great blessing for Krishna. Every day, is a reason to fully celebrate every day. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments.
One comment. We have to have a mood of Srila Prabhupada. He never heard of any prophet adoration distinction.
No.
He always said, it's all because of my Guru Maharaj.
Yes.
Whatever he did, he said. Yeah. Now, after this comment, I want to ask him a question. Why deity worship is so important for grihasthas?
What is that?
Why deity worship is so important for grihasthas?
It stops from being green and it removes the contamination from a lot of the material association that they tend to have. And it instead of them feeling that they are the master or the enjoyer of their possessions, it makes them realize that the servant and everything they have should go to Krishna. So there's a couple of natural faults in being a grihastha that affect everyone. And by deity worship, it unlines those and brings one back to the spiritual.
Yeah, I noted one point you said in the first part that whatever money is coming, we have to think it is Krishna giving, and we must rely all this money for Krishna.
Yes, that possessions. And deity worship also makes ladies and gentlemen adults. Kali Yuga tends to make us a bit rough. And the deity worship. You see that any devotee, any person, you look at someone who comes to the temple and they've never really been here. To the temple, they're a bit rough. A lot of bad habits, their mentality. And that same person, just by being in the presence of the deity over the course of the year or so, they become a gentleman at least around the temple. So, it makes ladies a gentleman. And to go back to the spiritual world, you really got to be in the best way. Permanently. The yogis, they meditate, they come to the mode of goodness by always trying to meditate upon Lord Vishnu. By meditation on Vishnu, you rise above tamagun, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, and it helps you to be situated in the mode of goodness, predominantly. If they become, in samadhi, then they can come to, pure goodness. But our goal, we also we meditate on Krishna more so than Vishnu, because our goal is to go back to Krishna Loka, not necessarily Vaikuntha, where Narayana resides. But by meditating on Krishna, we get the same effect as the yogis get. So, a yogi will have to, and very, very practical, that's the other thing. A yogi will have to, in order to come to Satyaguna, he'll have to go to the forest, go to a cave, go to the Himalayas, not associate with anyone, withdraw the mind, withdraw the senses, sit there and perform severe penances and austerities to restrict the mind, restrict the senses, so that he can think of Vishnu. A devotee, they jump in the car, they drive into the city, they look at the temple, the deities of Radha Balabha and Gaurantha. They get better results. How easy. They're very powerful. We all know how difficult is the life of a yogi. And for a devotee, they get a better result. In other words, by always having Krishna in your mind through deity worship, you become situated in the mode of goodness, predominantly the mode of passion and ignorance fade away. And when that meditation is constant, then you're situated to the sattva, pure goodness without any tinge of the modes, and on that platform you can fully understand the Supreme Lord. So by deity worship, it actually brings us to the point where we can understand from the Bhagavad Gita. If we don't do deity worship and we remain in the modes of passion and ignorance, even though we may reach from the Bhagavad Gita, we will not understand it. But by deity worship, it brings us to the mode of goodness, and even to the mode of pure goodness, it actually allows us the platform whereby the signs of God is understood. So without deity worship, it is pretty. And therefore, one's. I heard the other day as well, Srila Prabhupada said, he said, when you chant Hare Krishna in the temple and in front of the deities, the effect is a thousandfold. And he quoted the Nectar Devotion where, because I had heard that when I was a brahmachari, someone said that, and then someone said, oh, that's not right, where have you heard that? And not only for 28 years I've been looking for that quote, but I heard Prabhupada say it at the morning walk. And he quoted the Nectar Devotion that, otherwise why do they go to Vrindavan? See, you go to Vrindavan because you magnify the effects of chanting and, your devotional activities. Prabhupada, said that this, don't think that this, you're in Melbourne, this temple, non-different from Vrindavan. So when you're actually in the temple, one, when you're chanting, you do tend to chant with much more respect, following the rules and regulations very closely, with much more devotion, and therefore, you magnify the effects of that chanting and that hearing and that association. So, to be in the temple of the Lord, it magnifies the effects of all the devotional service that we're doing. A very, very bad one. So in this way, deity worship is so easy, so enjoyable, and yet you get massive, magnified the results. It's just like if you take a magnifying glass and you take the heat of the sun, or gems, like we wear gems because they capture the rays of a particular planet and magnify the beneficial effect. That's why you don't wear the gems of a malefic planet, because it will magnify the harmful effect in your life. You wear gems of planets which are beneficial and magnify that effect. In the same way, the temple is like a magnifying effect. So you're doing the same activity, but it generates a greater effect of potency. So deity worship has it. To be in the temple serving like that amongst the devotees, then your hearing, your chanting, your other devotional activities also benefit so much more. And it's so easy. And by that, Krishna is saying, you just keep doing that, you just get back to Godhead. And that's what Srila Prabhupada said, if you stay in this ISKCON for one lifetime, you go back to Godhead.
Any other questions?
We shouldn't advertise our devotional service, that can bring pride. And also, one should glorify Lord and devotees. So, how shall we understand and take that point? If someone glorifies you, that can also bring pride.
Mm-hmm.
How to deal with that?
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says by comments upon that point in his commentary on the third verse of the Shastra. When when we glorify other devotees, that's the principle of offering respect to others. Someone who is proud doesn't have to offer respect to others. So to glorify other devotees is very good. It reduces pride. We're seeing the good in others. You know, pride means we want to see the good in ourselves, but we can take the same mentality of looking for good things, but instead of looking for it in ourselves, we just look for it in others. So we almost don't change anything, but it destroys pride. So often we speak to others. And a devotee will appreciate that the devotees are practicing the principles, so someone is offering praise, then they will appreciate that this devotee is practicing the principles of humility in order to chant Hare Krishna very nicely. So they will in turn offer respect to them. They also appreciate that when the respect that's offered to a devotee is not empty. Generally, if you offer respect to non-devotees, you're really praising them, but just sort of saying things that don't really, you're such a generous person. And you think, no, you are so intelligent. If you say to a devotee, gee, you're very intelligent, generally, it's true. Really, to be a devotee, there has to be some quite refined intelligence. If you say, you're so generous, it's a fact. Most devotees, they're constantly working for the benefit of others. A devotee will appreciate that if there are some good qualities, then that has, by my associating with my spiritual masters, by associating with Radha Vallabha, by associating with the other devotees, the process is working. That, there are good qualities that manifest. They will appreciate that this is a reflection of the potency of devotional service. It's a reflection of the Lord's mercy, the Guru's mercy, like that. If we just completely deny, nothing is happening. Every devotee must be able to honestly see that if they're not making some improvements, why are they doing? Why would they want to be doing all this? They have to appreciate that they're rising above the wrong modes, the modes of goodness, where good qualities are there, into the transcendental platform. So if someone offers some honest praise, they will accept that this process of Krishna consciousness is actually working. That is the mercy of Krishna, that is the mercy of Guru, that is the potency of the temple. You can accept that without actually being pride. You're really offering respect to the Lord, the devotee, but you're really, being a little bit realistic. There's no use being false, falsely humble. If you're falsely humble, how will you recognize that you're making advancement? But nor should we be proud, if we don't make that connection, someone says, I they say, oh yeah, but you're so humble. And you just think, oh yeah, I am. Yeah, I've always been like that, you know. My mother used to say, you know, if we don't make that connection, that's okay, someone's appreciating with some humility, or, you know, thank you, Krishna, that, you know, you've actually, you know, made some adjustment in my life, because my normal state is to be, you know, extremely proud and arrogant, and here's this devotee saying some humility. So, you know, you must make that mental connection between the process of devotional service working and Krishna's mercy and Guru's mercy and association of devotees and being in the temple. You must make that connection. Then it's okay. And if you don't, then you are susceptible to pride. You know, Srila Bhaktivinoda, of course, is the one who praises me as my enemy. Be careful not to, you know, imitate. You know, he's making that statement that if someone praises me, it makes me, you know, I become proud and, you know, like that. That's quite often in Srila Bhaktivinoda Kaur's prayers, he literally, in his humility, he sort of manifests the mood of, you know, just a common materialistic man. And, you know, actually, the common materialistic man, if you offer a praise, you're really not doing any favours, because they just go to their head and they get a false sense of, you know, who they are. You know, but, you know, if a devotee offers us, you know, some praise, you know, we should appreciate that that devotee is following the principles of humility by giving due respect to others. And we also follow that principle of humility by, you know, recognizing the process and the association of Krishna devotees that have had, you know, today. But we certainly have to be able to perceive our advancement in Krishna consciousness. Can't make a false show of humility to the point that we don't know whether we're in I saw on the news last month that there's a group called The Turning Point. A lady, they, you know, it's sort of a process of purification. After she finished the course, this lady felt a bit 30 to 40 years old, you know, stripped down naked at work, you know, walked around the office wanting everyone to give her a big hug, and then went to the balcony and jumped off and, you know, killed herself. They sort of, in order to purify, they revert, they do a regression back to childhood. That's their method of purification. There's no deity worship, there's no chanting Hare Krishna, there's no reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. They have a process based on mental speculation. And anything based on mental speculation will cause ruin. And about 3 years ago, there was another man who died in similar circumstances. He was also just shortly after his finished his therapy, you know, his course of purification, he was also found dead, naked. So there you see that there's no ability at all to perceive whether they're going backwards or forwards. There may be, you know, discussions on humility and pridelessness and all that sort of stuff, but it's, you know, it's all a show. You really have to perceive, you know, if Krishna says you do deity worship, and, you know, it'll bring you to the spiritual platform where you can go back to Godhead, you actually have to be able to perceive that happening. So we can't make an artificial show of humility in the sense that, you know, you're not looking that, am I developing the good qualities? Am I becoming free from the mode of passion ignorance? Am I coming to the mode of goodness? Am I fixed in the transcendental mode of goodness? Am I becoming a proper lady and gentleman? Am I, you know, avoiding the offences? You know, am I able to associate with devotees in such a way that the community of devotees, warmly, appreciate my presence? That's always a good barometer. You know, if you go to the temple and everyone's a wrong guy, here comes someone's there. There's something wrong. If you go to the temple and everyone, you know, is happy to see you, and you get a nice warm reception, it's a very good barometer that, you know, you're developing attractive qualities to people who matter. Not that one animal is, you know, praising another animal. That's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Outside of Krishna consciousness, you see one person is praising another, but it's really one animal praising another. But in Krishna consciousness, it is not that. The praise is actually correct. And one can appreciate that praise as a symptom that there is some advancement, and that advancement is due to the mercy of Guru, Krishna, and the Vaishnavas. I am such a fallen conditioned soul, yet by their grace, this process is working. Alright, any other questions, comments? So I always should